Today's Shir is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Tezvav. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Dalad Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. It says, Amar, Pshita Hechdik Isha Yirokas. In a situation where somebody has other vegetables available, because he has the other vegetables available, the halacha should be Mevorach. He should, at the beginning of the Seder, at Karpas, make the Bari Pri Adoma. Shai Rokas Bari Pri Adoma. He should make the Bari Pri Adoma on the other vegetables that are available to him. V'ochol, and he should eat them. V'hadar, and afterwards, when he gets tomorrow, V'varach Al-Achil Smarar, he should make the Baruch of Al-Achil Smarar. V'ochol, and eat those vegetables. The question is, Hecha Deleka El Chasa. In a situation where the person only has one vegetable available, Chasa, which is the lettuce, the romaine lettuce that's used preferably for maror. So now ask the Gemara, when the person only has that one vegetable available to him, Mai, what should he do? Should he make the achilas maror together with the bari pri adoma? He's obviously going to have to use that chasa for karpas. Another question is, what should he do? Should he use that chasa, make both a bari pri adoma and achilas maror, or should he just make a bari pri adoma and the achilas maror he'll make when he gets to that part of the seder where you eat the maror? Am Rav Huna, bevarach mikor ha-maror. First, he should make a bari pri adoma. He makes a ochel at the beginning when he gets to karpas ulpsoif, and when he gets to the time in the seder when we're supposed to eat maror, then he makes an achilas maror, v'achol, and eat it. So the simple way of learning Rav Huna's opinion is Rav Huna holds mitzvah tzrichas kavana, and therefore, even though he ate maror at the beginning of the Seder, when we eat karpas, he did not have a mind to be yotze mitzvah maror. And if you didn't have a mind to be yotze mitzvah maror, then you are not yotze mitzvah maror. Then, when you get to the part of the Seder where you're supposed to eat maror, then you'll have a mind to be yotze the mitzvah maror, and you'll make the bracha of achilas maror. However, the Shagas Aryeh in Simon Chavov asks that the Gemara Masechta Sukkah says that Rav Huna is the opinion, is the mandamit that holds mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. And if that's the case, how can we explain our Gemara that Rav Huna holds mitzvahs tzrichas kavana? He says, so therefore, says the Shagas Aryeh in explaining Rav Huna's opinion, the halacha is that kolam of mitzvahs, mevarach leim oivel siyosun, that before you do a mitzvah, you're supposed to make a bracha. But if you didn't do so, then you can make the bracha after you did the mitzvah. And that's what Rav Huna is suggesting. Don't make the, even though technically you were yotze the mitzvah of achilas maror when you ate that vegetable at the beginning of the Seder, but even though technically you were yotze the mitzvah, you could still make the bracha later on and still be considered, and that's what Rav Huna therefore suggests, you should do. Maskel of Chizda, to which Rav Chizda asks, how could you suggest, Rav Huna, that that's what we should do? Lacha shemila krisim menu, after you ate the maror at the beginning of the Seder, and you were yotze the mitzvah maror, now, choizim of Archala, you should go make an achilas maror so much later in the Seder. Elam Rav Chizda, therefore Rav Chizda, says, mikara v'varchle bar pri adoma. At the beginning of the Seder, when you eat this vegetable, you should only make a bar pri adoma. And you should make a bar pri adoma, and achilas maror v'achol, and also make an achilas maror, and eat it, and be yotze the mitzvah of maror. Well, psoif, and when we get to point in the Seder where we normally eat maror, achilas chasa, he should eat the maror b'loy bracha, without a bracha. So, the way we understand Rav Chizda's opinion, because Rav Chizda's opinion is mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, and therefore as soon as you eat the maror, you are yotze the mitzvah, and therefore you should make the bracha right away at the beginning of the Seder. So, that's the simple pshat. Other Rishonim explain that it doesn't make it, that Rav Chisda doesn't necessarily have to hold the mitzvah saying tzriches kavanim. But what troubles Rav Chisda is that a person should eat maror and not be yotze the mitzvah and say, well, I'm not going to be yotze the mitzvah till later in the Seder. And therefore, because there's no other option, because that's the only vegetable which is available to him, that's why Rav Chisda says he should eat the maror, make both brachas, and then eat it again later when the right time. That says the Gemara, Besuria Avdik Rav Huna. In Surah, when they had such a situation, they followed the opinion of Rav Huna, that they made the Bar Pri Adam at the beginning of the Seder, and then they made the Achil Smarer later. Rav Shesh Bered Rav Shua Avit Rav Chisda, that he made both brachas at the beginning of the Seder, and says the Gemara of Hilchas Kavah Seder Rav Chisda, that indeed is the Halacham. Says the Gemara, very understandably, Rav Acha Bered Rava, Mahada Shai Rokas. Rav Acha would go out of his way to look for other vegetables, Lafuke Nafshe with plukta, because if you're going to use the same vegetable for maror and karpas, as we've been learning for the entire shiur, we're going to end up with serious issues. The way to avoid those serious issues is having different types of vegetables for the karpas and a different vegetable for maror. The question is, according to Rav Chisda, that says that in a case that you only have this one vegetable, which I'm going to use both for karpas and maror, the question is, how could I make two brachas? Haven't we learned earlier in our perek on daf kuf beis on a beis that there's a concept of ein oise mitzvahs chavilas chavilas? So how is it halachically acceptable to make two brachas on one achila? So he says, so the Or Zeruah answers that there is no issue of ein oise mitzvah chavilas chavilas only when you're doing two separate mitzvahs. There really is no mitzvah of eating karpas. There is a mitzvah of eating maror. But since I'm not doing two mitzvahs, there is no concern of ein oise mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. The Shagush Arya asks that according to Rav Chisda, why doesn't he just give a different approach? Why does Rav Chisda say that the person who's using the vegetable which we use for maror, also for karpas, he should eat less than a kazayas of maror at that point in the Seder? And that way he won't be able to make the bracha, because the bracha on eating maror is al-chilas maror. He's not eating a sheer maror. And then, later on in the Seder, when the time for maror comes, he'll make sure to eat a kazayas and be able to make the bracha of al-chilas maror. So, one pshat, going back to the Machlokes Rishonim that the Shagas Arya suggests, it goes back to what we discussed in our previous year, that there are Rishonim that say that even for karpas to be yotze the mitzvah, you're supposed to eat a kazayas. And therefore, this is not a great piece of advice. However, the Shagas Arya, quoting the Rishonim, says that the Rosh's opinion, and that, as we discussed in our previous year, is our minig, is that we eat less than a kazayas for a karpas. So if we less than a kazayas of karpas, why shouldn't you just, that's why it should be a reason that Rav Chisda should agree that you can't make an achilas maror. So answers the Shagas Arya. What is going to happen here? He's going to eat less than a kazayas at the beginning of the Seder of this vegetable to be yotze mitzvah karpas, and then later in the Seder, when you're supposed to eat maror, again eat from that vegetable. Says the Shagas Arya, according to Rav Chisda, those two maisa achila, those two acts of eating, will ultimately combine. And since those two acts of eating will ultimately combine, I have an accomplished maror. Another pshat that the Shagas Arya answers, that although technically this advice that we've been discussing perhaps does work, it's not a lechatchila to eat maror, even though you're eating less than a kazayas, to avoid making a bracha. One should not avoid making a bracha, suggests the Shagas Arya. And since one should not avoid making a bracha, giving Rav Chisda was reluctant to give advice that would involve not making a bracha. Says the Gemara, and then we go into the halacha of eating matzah and eating maror. Amar Avina, Amalei Rav Shashbed Rav Nasan, Hachi Amah Hillel. Hillel, and when we speak about Hillel, we mean Hillel the Amoira, not Hillel the Tana. And he said it Mishmei the Gemara, that Surashim Sechta Kedushin says that whenever we see in the Gemara, Mishmei the Gemara, it means this was what was accepted in the Beis HaMedrash. Another pshat that Rashi suggests in Masech the Yevamos is Mishmei Gemara, is that he had a tradition from previous generations that this is the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amr Avina, Amr Eli Mishashbeid of Nasan, Hachi Amr Hillel, Mishmei the Gemara, Lein Lichnosh Inish Matzo Mar Bahadi Adadi, a person should not eat matz and mar together, to Necho, and that's how he should eat them, Mishin the Svirlon, because our opinion is, the matz bezmanazah, the obligation to eat matz bezmanazah, is the raisa, is a chiv the raisa. Maror bezmanazah is a chiv the rabbonon. And therefore, if we're going to eat the matzah and maror together, also maror the rabbonon, the maror which the obligation to eat maror is only a mitzvah the rabbonon, mevatale will negate the matzah the raisa. And therefore, they can't be eaten together. I asked the Rishonim, so how do we dip the maror in charoisis? Why don't we say that the chiv charoisis, which is certainly no more than a chiv the rabbonon, a mevatel, the mitzvah's maror. So one teretz that Tosfos suggests is that when Chazal taught us that we have to eat maror, it was said that maror goes together with charoisis. And since maror goes together with charoisis, it's not mevatel it. Another pshat is that, and this is the Meiri's pshat, and Tosfos and the Ran's pshat, very important pshat, the halacha of putting maror into charoisis is just to dip the maror in the charoisis. But one shouldn't put too much charoisis on the maror. So if you're not putting too much charoisis on the maror, you're just doing a little tibul, so then there's no concern that will take away of the tam of the maror. And that's why there were some rishonim, it's a big machlokes rishonim, that one, our minig is not two, but there are those that suggest that even a matzah you could put spices. And the question is, why is it not a problem? And the answer is, because when you put a small amount, that isn't the concern. So Al Gemara said that if you eat maror and matzah together, then we're worried that the maror, which is only a chiv, the rabbonon, will be mevatel the raisa. So ask the Brisker Rav, if that's the concern of the Gemara, so that concern should exist even if matzah and maror were both the raisa. If we're worried that the time of the maror is mevatel, the time of the matzah, so what's the difference if one is the raisa, one is the rabbanon, or both are the raisa? So the Brisker Rav explains that by matzah, even if you don't taste the matzah, it's there. And that's what we're going to learn soon in our shir, that bowl of matzah, even if you just swallow the matzah, you're still yoytz the mitzvah, the raisa. However, if we're dealing in a situation, explains the Brisker Rav, where we're combining something which is a chiv deraisa together with a chiv derabonon, so then something which is a chiv deraisa has really no place as far as the deraisa is concerned. Something that mechuiv and derabonon, as far as the deraisa's perspective, doesn't exist, and therefore the maror which doesn't exist means that I'm eating the matzah together with maror. Whereas, if both were chiv deraisa, so of course I have to eat the matzah and the maror, and therefore, the Brisker Rav says, our Gemara says, it wouldn't be a problem. And says the Gemara, the filo man de omer, that throughout Shas holds mitzvahs e mevatel suazu, the two different mitzvahs are mevatel each other, hanimili deraisa and deraisa, where we're eating two foods which are both chiv deraisa, or derabonon bederabonon, or we're eating two foods that there's chiv derabonon to eat, avol deraisa and derabonon, when we're trying to eat together, as we just discussed, the matzah and the maror, which the chiv of eating matzah is a chiv deraisa, the chiv of eating maror is a chiv derabonon, as we just explained, also derabonon, or mevatel leila deraisa, derabonon has the ability to mevatel deraisa, and therefore, you're not yoytza the mitzvah's matzah. So our Gemara just taught us that we have two different foods, a mevatelus zuazu. So the question that I saw that the Michas Yitzchak discusses in the Shal Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelik Zayin Simen Lamed Beis, is what's going to be if somebody's eating a food which is not kosher? But together with the food that's not kosher, he'll eat a food which is kosher, and the food that's kosher will have a sharp taste, a strong taste. And if we're learning now in a Gemara that the two foods are mevatel each other, then maybe I wouldn't be considered that I'm eating the non-kosher food, which has the weaker taste. So the Michas Yitzchak explains there that this concept of mitzvahs mevatel zu is only as far as being mekayim a mitzvah. And under what conditions am I mekayim the mitzvah, and what conditions am I not being mekayim the mitzvah? When it comes to machalos asuris, the factor to take in consideration, explains the Mishnah, is that I ate something that's not kosher. And even if the kosher food has a stronger taste than the non-kosher food, the reality is that I ate something which is not kosher. And therefore, this would not be able to work together. So I saw a beautiful pshat from the Sefer Aryeh Shog. Why mitzvahs, if both mitzvahs are in the same category, both are deraisa, both are derabbanan, ein mevatlus uazu. He explains when somebody does a mitzvah, he creates a malach. And the malach that he creates from a mitzvah are the malach shalom. Since he creates a malach shalom, all these malachim can coexist. But isurim, the Gemara says, mesech dezvachim, dafayin hey, are mevatlun zezeh. Because what's created by eating something which you're not supposed to eat are malachei chavola. They can't coexist. And therefore, by asurim ein mevatlin zu azu. Ask the Gemara, Mount Tana de Shamitle, who is the Tana that holds the mitzvahs ein mevatlin zu azu, that mitzvahs can't coexist, as we just explained? It's the opinion of Hillel. And here when we speak about Hillel, we mean Hillel the Tana. The Tanya Amar Lava Hillel, they said regarding Hillel, when the Beis HaMikdash was standing and they had to eat the Korban Pesach, they had to eat Matzah, and they had to eat Maror, Sheikarchim Abbas Achas, he would eat them all together, V'oichlim, and he would eat them all together. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Amatzis Umroirim Yechlua. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Cholkan Olav Chaverev Al Hillel. Hillel's colleagues disagreed with him. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Yochol Yekarchim Bas Achas V'Oichlan. We would think that the proper thing is to put the matzah, the Maror, and the Korban Pesach together and eat them together, Kederek Shehillel Ochlan, just like Hillel did. Tamaloimer, Al Matzahs Umroim Rechlua. I feel a Zebef Neatzmai, a Zebef Neatzmai. Says the Gemara, if what Rabbi Yochanan is trying to teach us is that each one of these foods should be eaten separately, Ihachi, then what should have been said? Why is the word afilu? It should have said that that's what you're supposed to do, that you're supposed to eat each food separately. Ella, Amravashi, Tana Hachikotani. This is the way we taught. Yochala Yotzbi Yudei Chavosai. I would think that you would not be Yotzbi the mitzvah eating Pesach Matzah Maror. Elam Ken Karchem Bebas Achlus Ochlan. Only if you ate them together. Kederach Shehillo Ochlan. The way that Hillel did. Tamaloimer, that's what Rabbi Yochanan teaches us, the Pasuk teaches us. Amatzis Umroirim Yechlua. The word Yechlua comes to teach us that each one should be eaten separately. Because we have to be concerned that what one mitzvah does to the other. So says the Gemara. So now we have a question. What is the proper way of eating it? So says the Gemara, Hashtad Le'itmasa Hilchas Leike Hilav Leike Rabbanim. Now that we're not clear what the halacha is, what we should do is Mevarech. First, we should take the matzah and make a bracha of alchilas matzah, v'achel and eat it, v'hadam mevarech alchilas maror. Then we should take the maror and make a bracha alchilas maror, v'achel and eat it, v'hadam achel matzah v'chas ba'adei dadi. Obviously, the Gemara is speaking b'zman hazeh, where unfortunately we don't have a Korban Pesach, so we should eat the matzah and maror together, b'loi bracha, without making any bracha, and secha l'megdash. We should say that this is what Hill did. The question that the Rishonim already debate is, do we put the Kairich, the Matzah and Maror, into the Charoisis? So most Rishonim are of the opinion we don't put it into Charoisis, because as we say in the Manishtana, Halayla Azeh Shtei Pomim. When we ask the Manishtana, we say that the night of Pesach, we do two tibulim. But if we also have to put the kairich into the charoisis, so why do we say two? We should said three. Others disagree. They say that you should put it into Charoisis, and the reason it's only mentioned as twice, because it's really an extension of putting the Maror into the Charoisis. The Shagas Aryeh discusses, he quotes a Rosh that holds that when we eat Maror in the Kairach, we don't have to have a Kazayas of Maror. And that's opinion of the Avni Nezer as well. However, most Rishonim are of the opinion that you should have a kezayis of maror when you're eating maror in kairach. The Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Tuf Ayin Hesef Aleph says before eating the kairach, we say Zechel Migdash Gehillel Kenaya Yosef Hillel. This is what Hillel did, that he ate them together. The Kaim Hashanem Amatzus Marorim Yechlua. So the Bir Alocha over there, Divrei Maskel VaOmer asks, how is that permitted? Why is saying this nusach not considered a hefsik between the matzah and the maror and the kairach? And the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that one should not in any way make a hefsik from when he washes from the matzah until he finishes kairach. And therefore, it's the bir halacha's opinion that we should say the zeich lamigdash kehillo only after we eat the kairach, not before we eat the kairach. Everybody should do their own minig. I saw that the Sefer Lahiris Nosson explains that if we look at the history of the Jewish people versus the history of other nations of the world, we'll see that there is no nation in the world that has been under attack, physical attack, so often like Klal Yisrael. And one looks at that phenomena and he thinks to himself, why is that Klal Yisrael should suffer so much? So he explains that it shows Ashgacha Pratis. It shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu unfortunately knows if we do Averis and he wants us to do better. And by putting us into these types of situations, that causes us to be better. And therefore, he says, Maror, we know, represents the tzaris. Maror represents the difficulties that we go through life. Matzah and Pesach represent different types of gulas. Matzah represents that we were completely allowed out of Mitzrayim. Karban Pesach represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over, skipped over the homes of the Jews in Mitzrayim, but we were still in Golos. So what we're announcing when we eat the Pesach, Matzah, and Maror all together, we're announcing that we realize that there are times in our history that are Maror, that we suffer. But we also realize that everything that's happening to us is because that's what Hashem wants should happen to us. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that to happen to us, we eat the Pesach, we eat the matzah, which represents all different types of gulas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately will take us out from the tzaras. Says the Gemara, Amar Abelazar, Amar Abayishia, Kol Shetibula B'mashka. So as we speak about Hilchas Tumah, we know whenever we speak about Hilchas Tumah, there are various degrees in Hilchas Tumah. There's an Avatuma, a mace, a zov. Avatama Mesa is actually a Via Vaisatama, there's a Zov, there's a Mitzayra, there's a Sheretz, there's an Avela, which are Tama, and they have the ability to be Matama, other things. Then we have something that receives Tama from Avatama, that is a Rishonal Tama. That is not Tama for itself, that's Tama because it became Tama from an Avatama. Then we have a Sheni Latama that got Tama from coming in contact with a Rishon Tuma. Midaraisa, a Shein L'Tuma, can't in Chulin make spread Tuma further. For Truma, it can make a Shlishi L'Tuma, but a Shlishi L'Tuma is the last stop by Truma and can't pass Tuma further. And as we learned many times, whenever we have a degree of Tuma that can't spread further, the word that Chazal uses, Posel, not Tamei. The Mishnah Masechta Zovim, Perek Hei, Mishnah Yud Beis, says that Stam Yudayim, if we don't know the status of one hand, are they Tomei or Tor? Chazal said that Stam Yudayim Tomei's hand, that they're Tomei, they should be treated like a Sheni L'Tumah, and therefore they pass al Truma. And the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph, teaches us, because we have a rule, Yodayim Askani Yisayim, people are constantly putting their hands in different places, and we therefore need to be concerned that maybe those hands touched something Tamei and became Tamei. Rashi actually says, it's also part of the reason for this rule is because Chazal were concerned that one should keep his hands clean. And the halacha is that anything that a sheni that touches a truma that makes it a shlishi, if the object that was touched, the food that was touched, are not a food but a liquid, there's a new rule that if a sheni touches a liquid by truma, it becomes a rishon l'tuma. Because as the Mishnah Masechta Poro, Perek Ches, Mishnah Zayin teaches us, because beverages are so much more susceptible to tuma, they're so much more susceptible to tuma than food. The reason beverages are more susceptible to tuma, because as we've learned many times, food can only be makabel tuma if they're mukshel makabel tuma, if they got wet first. Whereas beverages don't have the halacha of hechsher, and because of that, Chazal were extremely concerned that beverages should not become tamei, and therefore that if a sheni l'tumah touches a beverage, that beverage becomes a rishon l'tumah. And because of that rule, begins our Gemara, Amar Balaza, Amar Boshia, Kol Shetibula B'mashka, any food that's put into liquid, the vegetable that we start the shir, that we started our shir with, that we start the seder by putting into salt water, Tzarech L'Tehil Shadayim, we have to wash our hands before we eat them, because as we just said, Stam Yudayim Shni is Heim. And therefore, in order to avoid that liquid should not become a Rishon L'Tuma, the way we could avoid that is by washing our hands and knowing for sure that our hands are tar. Amar Rapapa, so now that we've established that before we do put the karpas into the salt water, we have to wash our hands, because as we just learned, Kol Shetibula B'mashka Tzorach Netilas Yadayim Shmamina, so we should now be able to extrapolate the high chasa that if you're going to eat lettuce for karpas, as we began our shir today, Tzorach L'shkuei B'toy Charoises, we have to put it completely into the Charoises. Mishom Kofa, because we're concerned that there may be some poison in the vegetable, in the chasa, and the charoisis, as we're going to see, has the ability to antidote to that poison. And if you won't put it completely into the poison, into the charoisis, we need to be concerned what will happen. So the Pashup Shad in the Gemara is that the vegetable, the chasa, has some sort of a poison in it, and what is the antidote to that poison is the charoisis. There are other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that the issue with the chasa are worms, and that the worms get killed by the charoisis. It's a very difficult pshat, because one may not eat a worm even if it's dead. So if it's dead, what's going to help if I stick it into the charoisis? And therefore, the Rishonim say that, number one, usually there aren't, in those days, worms in those vegetables. And therefore, the concern is only ingesting the worm, which may be dangerous, but not a kashrus issue. Others say that a worm that was formed in the fruit, a worm that was formed in the vegetable, the halacha is that if it didn't exit that fruit or vegetable, then we don't have to worry about eating, that's considered that I ate a worm. And therefore, that's the kind of worm we're talking about here. This akadatach, if we're going to hold that we don't loitzarch l'shkui, we don't have to completely dip it into the charoisis, netilas yudayim lomeli. So then why do we have to wash our hands before we eat the charoisis? We're not putting our hands into the water. Halaynaga. answers the Gemara. I can make an argument that loy tzarich lishkuyei. It's not necessary to stick it into the karosis all the way. Kafa merechemayis. The whatever issue we have, the poison, the worm, just by coming in contact with the charoisis, the odor, the aroma, will immediately take care of any problem. So if that's the case, lomeli natil shadayim, why did Chazal require natil shadayim? Says the Gemara, dilma mashakalei. Chazal were concerned that even though it's not necessary, and we actually explained earlier in our shir, that not only is it not necessary, it's actually something that should not be done, because we want you to taste the maror. We're concerned that maybe you'll put it in all the way, and then your hands will get wet, and because of that, you should always wash your hands before you eat the karpas. We shouldn't leave the maror for a long time in the charoisis. Maybe because of the sweetness that is in the charoisis. We're going to soon speak about the ingredients that are put into the charoisis. It will cause that the maror shouldn't have the bitter taste. And the halacha is be'inon, that the halacha is be'inon tam maror v'leka. And if you're not going to have the taste of the maror, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. The mitzvah is only fulfilled when you feel the bitterness from the maror. And as I saw the Svarim explain, when we eat the maror and we eat something which is bitter, what we're really saying to Hashem is that it's not bitter. If you, Hashem, caused that this should happen, then that's what's supposed to happen. And therefore, the only way we could get to that recognition is by tasting the meriris, tasting the bitterness, and announcing that even though we're tasting the bitterness, we don't care. We're not worried. That's why we're accepting that everything happens is because Hashem happened. So if that's the case, that the Gemara says that the reason we put the maror into the charoisis is because, as we just explained, there's poison in the maror, there's worms in the maror. So why all year round, when we eat the maror vegetable, when we eat romaine lettuce, we should have to put it into charoisis? So the Truma Sedeshin says that, truthfully, and we mentioned this a moment ago, the concern of poison in the maror is a very minimal concern. And therefore, because it's a minimal concern, Chazal didn't feel the need to make a rule that whenever you eat maror, you have to put it into charoisis. But on the night of Pesach, where everybody's obligated to eat maror, Chazal were very, very concerned that if somebody's going to eat maror, and it's unlikely, but it could happen, after he eats the maror, he's going to get sick because of the worm, because of the poison. And then people are going to say, look what happened because somebody ate maror. Because somebody ate maror, he got sick. We never want to have a situation that somebody does a mitzvah, and by doing a mitzvah, it will cause that people will say, look what happens as a result of doing a mitzvah. And that's why Chazal said that on Pesach, we should make sure to put the maror into the charoisis, that it should be no question that nothing will happen. Says the Gemara, Adre Rechizdel Ravano Ikva. Rechizdel took a walk with Ravano Ukva, Vidarish, and as they were walking, he told him, Shnot L'yadav Atibul Rishon, if you wash your hands before the karpas, Not L'yadav Atibul Sheni, you have to wash your hands again before you eat the maror and put into the charoisis. So the Rishonim asked, we said earlier in our shir that the maror is eaten during the Seder after eating the matzah. And of course, before we eat the matzah, we have to wash our hands. So why do we have to, even why would he suggest that we have to wash our hands before eating maror? We just washed the hand. So says Tosfos that indeed he did not mean to say that you're going to have to specifically wash your hands for the maror. You already wash your hands for the matzah. What the Gemara means to say is that when you're washing your hands for the matzah, not only do you need to wash your hands for the matzah because you can't eat matzah, obviously, without washing your hands, you also need to wash your hands for a different reason. And that is in order to make sure that you don't eat the maror, which is a vegetable, without washing your hands first. Says the Gemara, Amrum Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa, the Talmidim said over this halach to Rapapa, Haba Alma Itma. This that he just taught us was talking about all year round. And therefore, if somebody, when he washed his hand because he wanted to eat a vegetable, did not have in mind to eat another vegetable, he has to wash his hands again. This agadatach, if you're going to say that even on the night of Pesach, hacha itmer, the halacha is that you have to wash your hands before you eat maror, lomlin atilas yadayim trei zimni. Why would you have to wash your, why would it be needed to wash your hands twice? Hamash la yadacha dozimni, you already wash your hands at the beginning of the Seder. And since you wash your hands at the beginning of the Seder, that should be adequate. So Rapapa said to them, Adrabba, Hochim Itmar, specifically regarding the night of Pesach, is the halacha that you have to wash your hands for the maror, even though you washed your hands before you ate karpis. This Akadat Ba'ama Itmar, if we're going to say that under all circumstances, if you eat vegetables and then you decide to eat vegetables again, you need to wash your hands another time, the question will be, Lamali Trey Tabule, why would you need to do so? Elamai Hochim Itmar. So we're saying that it's on Pesach by night. So now the question comes back. Netil Shadayim Trei Zimni Lomeli. But at the end of the day, why is it necessary to wash your hands twice? Hamash LaYodei Chad HaZimni. You already washed your hands at the beginning of the Seder, and that should be enough. Answers the Gemara. Kivin Amri, Kivin the Boil Meima Agarta V'Halila. We say the Haggadah, we say part of the Chalul. The concern is, Dilma Asuach Asayich Ladatei, he's going to forget about his hands. As we mentioned earlier, we need to be concerned that the hands are yadayim askanias hang. The hands go all over the place, and maybe the hands touch something that made it tamei. And therefore, since we have this consideration, then that's why Chazal said that you have to wash your hands a second time before maror. But as we said, even though that's the halacha, it doesn't really make that much of a difference, because we wash our hands before we eat maror. The Bi'al Locha says that even if somebody was sure that he kept his hands clean, he still would have to wash his hands, because the purpose of washing the first time and the purpose of washing the second time are not exactly identical. The purpose of washing the first time is, as we said earlier, is because whenever you put a vegetable into liquid, the halacha tells us that you have to wash your hand. The second time is because you put the maror, which has whatever issue with it, into charoisis. So even though you're washing your hand and you're doing the same thing, since they're not the same purpose, that's why you have to wash your hands twice. Amar Rava, bola matzah, if somebody swallowed matzah without chewing it, yotza. Bola maror, but if you swallow maror without chewing it, la yotza. Says the Gemara, bala matzu maror, if you swallow matzah and maror together without chewing them, yidei matzah yotza, he's mekayim the mitzvah of matzah, yidei maror la yotza. But he was mekayim the mitzvah of maror, because as we just said, you can't eat maror without chewing it. Karcham besif, if you put the matzah or the maror into some sort of a in a covering and eat it that way, balon af matzah nam layotza, because you didn't have the matzah directly touch your throat, directly touch your mouth, and therefore it's not considered as if you ate the matzah either. So of course, the question that the Levush asks is: by matzah we learned that if you swallow the matzah, you yotza the mitzvah, but by maror, if you swallow the mitzvah, you swallow the maror, you're not yotza. So ask the Levush, what's the difference between matzah and maror? So the Levush explains that the mitzvah of matzah is that your body should have matzah in it. And therefore, no matter how you got the matzah into your body, you will mekayim the mitzvah. Maror, as we said a number of times in our shiur today, the purpose of eating maror is to remember v'yamaror es chayeyem, the bitter lives, the difficult lives we experienced in Mitzrayim. And that you only get if you taste the maror. So we learned now that yidei matzah, bola matzah, yotza. Ask the Mishnah Brura, and simetof ayin hei, sif kot nechav tes. The halacha is matzah mevuah shelus. If somebody cooked the matzah, loses the time of the matzah, and you can't be yoytz the mitzvah of matzah eating that type of matzah. Why is there a difference? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that if you cook the matzah, it's not considered matzah anymore. Of course, the Gemara here is teaching us that we need not taste the matzah, but it has to be matzah. But once the matzah has been cooked, then the matzah is not, then it's not considered matzah. But the Gemara says that if you ate the matzah and the maror together, then you yoytze. You swallow the matzah and the maror, you yoytze the matzah, but you're not yoytze the maror. So of course, the Rashbam asks that you yoytze the matzah. Because we just said, bala matzah yotze. So answers the Rashbam, that since we also learned in the Gemara, that if you put something around the matzah, then you're not yoytze even when you swallow the matzah. So I need to be concerned, perhaps, that if I'm eating matzah and maror together, maybe the maror covers up the matzah. And if the maror covers up the matzah, then it's like eating the matzah in a sieve. And therefore, the halacha is that, therefore I would think you're not yoytze. Kamash mlon, that's what the Gemara comes to teach us, that if it's matzah and maror, going back to what we discussed about mitzvahs mevatel zuazu, we could be more lenient. So the question here is, what happens if somebody, unfortunately, is not well? And he can only eat the matzah or the maror if they liquefy, they grind it or they liquefy it, can be yoytze the mitzvah matzah or maror. So Rav Moshe Zatzal, in the Shas Tshuvas Igros Moshe Or Chaim, Chelek Dalet Simen Mem, discusses a person who's an elderly person and he doesn't have teeth and therefore it's difficult for him to choose. And the question is that, can be yoytze the mitzvah matzah, even though he just grinded it up and ate it that way? So Rav Moshe wants to say that you yoytze matzah when it has a shame matzah. But just like we explained that when the matzah is cooked, it loses the category matzah. It could be that when it's ground up, you're not yoytze the mitzvah. However, the Shari Tshuva in Siman Tuf Samach in Siman Tuf Ayin Hey quotes Abrika Yosef, who says that since the halacha is that if somebody grinds up matzah, it is still the bracha is still hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and therefore the halacha is that you considered as if you ate, which opens up a new discussion. If somebody ate matzah, if somebody ate a food which is not kosher, but he put it into a wrapper which is a kosher wrapper, will that solve the problem that he ate a non-kosher food? The Michas Yitzchak in Shas Tshuvas Michas Yitzchak Chelek Tes Simen Ayin Tes seems to take a lenient approach. Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Shas Tshuvas Michas Shlomo Madura Tinyana Simen Samchei takes a stricter approach, because Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion is that since that's the normal way that this food is eaten, if that's the normal way that this food is eaten, so then that becomes a derech achila, and it will be, and you will not, and it will be considered that you ate mecholos asuris. Says the Gemara, Omer of Simi Barashi. So in order to understand this Gemara, in the time of Chazal, they reclined on couches, and there was a small table in front of everybody at the Seder, and they used to bring those tables to the people after Kiddush, and then after Karpas, they would take away that table, which would of course cause that the children should ask questions. You just brought the table, why are you taking it away? Amar Simi Barashi, matzah lefnei kol achad, we have to put matzah on the small table, which is in front of every individual. Charoisis of Nekol Achvechad, so too must we put charoisis in front of every individual. Ein oikrim sashulchan, but in terms of removing the table, he says the Gemara, you don't remove it, elof neimish oimer hagoda, only in front of the person that says the hagoda. And in fact, the Meiri and the Ran say, from here we see that the proper way of conducting the Seder is that just one person says the Haggadah and everybody listens. says the Gemara, that the halacha really is that we don't have to have a karo, we don't have to have the small table in front of every individual sitting there, only in front of the person who's leading the seder. Ask the Gemara, lama ikrim sashulchan, if we bring the table, why do we immediately move it away? Because the children will see that there's something different happening, and that will cause them to ask questions. Says the Gemara, Abaye, Yosef Kamei, the rabbi, Chazad the Kamadli Takim Kamei. They saw that Abaye took the table away after Karpas. We haven't eaten yet. Why are you taking the table away? Also, Kamakri Tamim, come on. Why are you taking the table before we ate? Amalei rabbi, by asking this question, you fulfilled exactly what is the purpose of Manishtana, to cause them to ask questions. And therefore, there's no more need to say Manishtana, because whatever you need to accomplish with Manishtana has been accomplished. The Rashbam says that nowadays, it was already in the time of the Rashbam, they had one large table. They didn't have separate tables for everybody. So this entire halach of removing, moving, and bringing back doesn't apply b'zman hazeh. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, lechem oini. The reason matzah is called lechem oini, lechem she'einam lov dvarim. Because we say the halal and we say the haggadah, all of it on the matzah. Tainan mihachi, lechem oini. Why is it called lechem oini? Lechem she'einam lov dvarim harbe. There's so many different recitations on the matzah. Davach lechem oni, the way to pronounce it, the pronunciation is oni, but the spelling is oni, a poor person. Ma oni, dark of a prusa, an oni just eats a small piece of bread. Afkan, when it comes to Pesach, he only eats prusa. That's why the matzah from which he yoits the mitzvah, chilas matzah, should be from the matzah that was broken. Davach, he prepares the oven and his wife does the actual baking. He should make the oven and his wife should bake, because there should be no delay in the baking of the matzah. The reason there should be no delay in the baking of the matzah is because the matzah, because if there's any delay, it could cause that the matzah should become chametz. So I saw the Sefer Divrei Yisrael from the Majid Rebbe asks, what is the Gemara, what does the Pasuk say, Lechem Oini? What does the Gemara say, Lechem Amira? So he says that matzah has tremendous powers. Eating the matzah, if some Rechman Tzlan is not well, it's the Michla de Svusa, it could cause that a person should get well. It's called the Michla de Memnusa, it caused that a person should come Tamuna. And that's why we say, Lechem oini. As we eat the matzah, we daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we need to be healthy, begashmius. If we need to be healthy, beruchnius. Please help us. Help us be that way. And help us have all the yeshuas and refuas that we need. And that's why the Sefer HaVisholem says it's compared to an oni, to a poor person. Because this poor person davens to Hashem, because he has so many needs. And that's why when we come to eat the matzah, we should consider ourselves how many needs we have. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be memala all of our bakoshes.